Brooke and Joyce and Debbie. I know Debbie was very nervous. I don't know why. That was wonderful. Thank you. Right. Again, welcome to our service this morning, and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers here. This morning, I'm going to share from the Lord's Word on a passage that's unusual for Mother's Day. And I'm going to take a slightly different tack on Mother's Day as well. But I want to show a video first, and if you can pay attention to screens, we'll show it's a video for Mother's Day, but a different perspective. So go ahead and watch that. Let us pray together. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for mothers. We thank you for our mothers. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of our mothers. And Lord, as we discuss your word this morning, as you speak to us, Lord, I pray that we would not only appreciate our mothers more, but also, Lord, learn to be parents to others. So speak to us this, Lord, as we speak to us this morning, Lord. I pray that it would not be the words of man, but that you would speak directly to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a wonderful time to celebrate mothers, you know, and every one of us is here because someone gave birth to us, right? And it's always a wonderful time to celebrate mothers. And, you know, many of you met my mother, and I tried to contact her this morning and try to Skype with her, but she's having computer problems, so I wasn't able to speak to her. But many of you know I'm blessed to have a really precious mother. Now, there was times when I was growing up that I thought she was going to kill me. I wouldn't have said these words then, but she truly is a praying, godly mother. And I'm here today because of a large portion because of my mother. And, you know, she's not... I don't fear for my life anymore when I do wrong things in front of my mother, but she has a unique ability and a way of putting me in my place. Those of you that have been around me and my mother would know that. She just got this way about her of speaking words that say, okay, I back off. She's the mother. But you know, the role of a mother is not an easy role. It's not an easy road to walk. There's many disappointments, many sleepless nights, many prayers that go up, and it's a difficult role. It's draining. It's draining to be a mother. It's tiring. You know, and there's a story of a 4 and a 6-year-old that bought their mother a houseplant for Mother's Day, and they presented it to her, and she was very excited. She was very happy to receive this gift. And the older one, the 6-year-old, you know, just kind of looked very downcast. She said, "What's the problem?" She said, "Well, I wanted to get you this really nice bouquet of flowers in the nursery or in the shop, but I couldn't afford it. But it was really nice. It was a beautiful arrangement, and it had a ribbon on the end and it said, 'Rest in peace.'" And I wanted to get that for you because you always say, just give me a little bit of peace so I can rest. You And as many mothers can identify, just give me some peace. But the preacher G. Campbell Morgan, he had four sons, and each of those sons became ministers of the gospel as they grew up. And so they had many different preachers in the home. And one day the whole family was together, and a friend asked them and said, which one of the Campbells, the Morgans, which one of the Morgan family is the better preacher? And the one son looked at his father and said, my mother. And you know, mothers do a lot of preaching. They may not be standing up here in the pulpit preaching God's word, but they do a lot of preaching. Speaking God's truth, speaking the word of truth into their children's lives. And that's the preaching of a mother. You know, as we saw in that video, Mother's Day is not always easy. It's not easy for everyone. It's a difficult time as well for those that perhaps yearn to be a biological mother but are unable to. There's those that, you know, for years maybe they've tried and they're unable to have children. And so Mother's Day just kind of brings that pain back again. Then you've got mothers that have lost children and they go through that pain every Mother's Day. It's a hard time. It's a difficult time for them. And then you've got the mother of a prodigal child, one that has taken what the mother said and rejected it and said, no, I'm not going to walk in that way. I'm going to walk my own way. That's a painful thing for a mother to bear. And it's a difficult time. Mother's Day can be very difficult for many people. But today I want to honor mothers, but not only mothers. I want to take a different look at it and challenge you to be a mother, even when you might not be a biological mother. Be a mother, be a spiritual mother to other children, to those younger than you. That's the role of discipleship. And I believe that, you know, in life there are many different roles of being a mother. There's the natural biological mother, there's the adoptive mother, there's the foster care mother. You know, those are all different roles that are possible, but the one that has the most eternal blessing, I believe, is the role of a spiritual mother. That person that says, I'm going to take this person, this child, under my wing, and I'm going to teach them the ways of the Lord, and I'm going to nurture them. I'm going to disciple them. I'm going to encourage them and teach them to grow in the ways of the Lord. They may not be your child, but they are your spiritual child. And you can be a spiritual mother to them. So I want to challenge you in that today, and we'll get to that later. But let's read together a very short passage, John 19. And like I said, it's an unusual passage for Mother's Day. I don't know if I've heard it preached on Mother's Day, but John 19, 25 to 27. Verse 25, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, he said, here is your mother. From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. What Jesus was doing here in his darkest hour was assigning his mother to someone else's care and assigning John to Mary's care. Now, just before we go any further, in verse 26, when Jesus says, woman, here is your son, it's not because he didn't show any respect for her, you know, calling his mother woman. In the Greek, it actually is a sign of respect. The original word is a sign of respect. But also, Jesus knew that if he identified his mother, this is what some scholars believe, if Jesus knew that if he identified his son, his mother, to all of those that had just crucified him, she may be persecuted. So, not identifying her clearly, but I wanted to just mention that. But this was such a remarkable scene. Jesus is on the cross. He's dying. There's so many people around. There's chaos around. There are people screaming still for his death. Then you've got those Roman executioners that are looking at him, making sure everything is going according to plan, making sure that he's going to die. And they are ruthless in what they're doing. They're exercising their role as a Roman soldier. And then you've got these four women and John standing there. And what must be going through their mind? They're standing looking, and Mary is looking at her son and watching him die. It must have been excruciating. It must have been the most painful thing that she could possibly go through. There were three other women with them and John, with Mary and John. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Her sister Salome was there, who's the mother of James and John. And then Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. But it took significant courage for these ladies to be standing there, because they could easily be identified as those who were supporters, and they could be persecuted. But it took courage for them to stand there. The first time that we see Mary in the Gospel of John, she is at the wedding where the wine runs out. Do you remember that story? And so Jesus hadn't started his ministry yet, but the wine was running out at the wedding. And so Mary goes to Jesus and says, "Do something." And Jesus said, "My hour is not yet come. Why did you come to me? Why must I do something?" And she leaves it at that, but then she goes to the servants and just says, "Do as he says." She had a quiet confidence in her that Jesus was special. You know, she had given birth to the son. She had seen him growing. She had nurtured him. And she knew something was special about Jesus, not just because the angel had told her so, but she knew Jesus was special. And so we first see her at the wedding where she said, "Just do what he says." And she leaves it at that, knowing that Jesus is going to perform a miracle. She has that faith, that incredible faith to say, "Yes, Jesus is going to do something." But now we see a very different picture. In Luke 2, when Mary and Joseph take Jesus to the temple and Simeon meets her there, and he starts praising God because he has seen the Messiah. Do you remember that story? How Simeon, the old man, said he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. The Lord promised him. And he saw Jesus, and he starts praising the Lord. But then he turns to Mary and says, "A sword will pierce your own heart too." This was that sword piercing her heart. This was the darkest time in her life. This was excruciating. It was so painful. First, she was at a wedding. Now she was preparing for a burial. But her silence here is significant. She's not, you know, as you may expect to see someone wringing her hand or wailing or crying or just screaming out and saying, "This is injustice." But she's silent. She's got a quiet confidence about her. Mary, as Jesus' mother, is silent. Now, maybe it's because she has that significant faith. And I believe that's what it is. She knows this is not the end. Even though this is terrible and this is painful, she knows this is not the end. Jesus, she knows, she doesn't know how, but she believes in his promises. She doesn't say anything. You know, she could have spoken up. Some scholars also say she could have spoken up at any time and said, "Stop all this. He's my son, and everything he's saying is false. He's crazy." And they wouldn't have crucified Jesus. They would have stopped it because she would have stood up. She could have stood up and said, "No, he's my child. I'm taking him home." And no, she didn't. She was quiet. She must have also been in agony at that time, because the Bible doesn't tell us, but we believe that Joseph had passed away by this time. So Mary was alone, and the rest of her family was in Galilee, and she was with Jesus. Jesus had probably supported her for a significant portion of his life, and he was all that she had to support her and take care of her. She must have been worrying about the future. What's going to happen now? What is going to become of me? And in the darkest hour, when Jesus is on the cross, providing the way for salvation for all who would believe in him, at that time, he takes care of his mother. He turns to her and he says, "Woman, here is your son." And he says to John, his beloved disciple, "Hey, here is your mother. I want you to take care of her." Jesus is providing for her, even in the most darkest hour, what at the same time Jesus is providing for all of our salvation, he's providing for his mother. Have you noticed, though, this is a picture of adoption again. Jesus is all about adoption. God is all about adoption. Because by Jesus dying on the cross, he provided a way for all of us to be adopted into God's family. And Jesus has this little picture going on here saying, John, Mary, I want you to adopt John as your son. It's a beautiful picture. And it's, again, as Jesus was on the cross, he provided a way for us to be adopted into the son, into the family of God. You know, mothers all know that you need to have faith. There's no guarantees in being a mother. And you have to have faith that what you tell your child, they're going to take, grab hold of, and apply it to their lives. It takes faith. It takes a lot of prayer. And so, you know, you don't know, but being a spiritual mother takes faith as well. Discipling someone, caring for someone, praying with them, and then saying, okay, now we're going to take the training wheels off. We're going to let you do this and see what happens. It takes faith. It takes courage. Investing in someone's life always takes courage because you never know. That person may turn around and reject and say, no thanks. I'm going to choose to go my own way. Life is full of unexpected turns. Life doesn't always turn out the way we planned. You know, when you leave high school and got all these plans and everything is well structured, I think only my eldest brother is one that had the plans and everything's working according to plan. He's very, very organized. But for most of us, life doesn't work that way. Life has unexpected twists and turns. But we need faith to walk through the tough times in life. And Debbie, I've asked her to share with us today. Many of you know a little bit about Debbie's story. But her life and our life together has taken some unexpected turns. And I've asked her to share this morning in relation to this because it really fits with what God is saying this morning.
Good morning. He makes it look very easy. When I was a little girl, I guess I was a lot like many of you, where I played with baby dolls, and my greatest desire was to be a mother one day. And when I started my training as a midwife and as a nurse, I would always put myself in the space of the woman I was treating. You know, one day this is going to be me. As we looked at a heartbeat for the first time, one day I'm going to look at my child's heartbeat, you know, the same way. And one day this is going to be me. And,
it's okay.
Once we got married, we decided that we were going to try almost immediately to start a family. And things started to go wrong pretty soon, pretty soon into it. And no matter what we did, we just couldn't fall pregnant. And working in labor and delivery was very, very difficult. You know, I would have people come in. Some of them had 9, 10 children. All of them were in state custody because of drugs or child abuse. And I just wanted one. You know, just give me one. And then I'd nurse people that came in, and it was their 9th, 10th pregnancy, and they hadn't been able to keep any of the children. And I would cry with them, too. And just working in that was just very, very difficult. But through it all, I could have felt sorry for myself. And I probably did a number of times. But I just really had this faith that the Lord was really going to come through. And we decided, we had spoken about adoption. But then I dropped it and thought, it's got to come from Apple. You know, I really want a child, but it's got to come from him too. And we were actually on a camping trip, and we were sitting around the fire, and we'd been married about 6 years, and we'd been trying that whole time. And he just said to me, you know, what about adoption? Maybe we should look into this adoption thing. And my heart was just singing. I was so excited, you know, and it was, we had one option left, and that was for in vitro. And in early December, we went in and we had a consult with the fertility guy, the specialist who'd been treating us. And during that appointment, he said, you know what, I can't take your money for in vitro. He says, you don't have enough healthy tissue in your uterus, and if you don't have a hysterectomy, you will die. And up till that point, it had been a choice, you know, do I have this hysterectomy or not? And by then, I was taking narcotic pain medicine every 4 hours. I was driving, I was working with it, I could, you know, cope with it. But it made it very, very final. And it was just before Christmas, and every time I heard a Christmas carol, I cried my eyes out. And Twyla Paris came to town, and she was actually doing a Christmas concert at our church. And I had every album that she'd ever made, and I just loved her songs. And it was during that concert, Ethel bought us tickets. He said, this will cheer you up, and off we went. And she had a slideshow, and in the middle of it, she shared how she had been trying for so many years. And she had pictures of her daughter that she had had that spring. And after that, she had actually made a lullaby album. And afterwards, I went to her, and I picked up one of the albums that she was selling, and I said, could you sign this for me? And I said, you know, thank you for sharing your testimony, because it really spoke to me. And she stood up, and she said, you know what, God's not done yet. It's all in his timing. Just be patient and have faith. And Ethel actually took a picture as she stood and hugged me, and I've put that in Christy's scrapbook. But I told her that night I bought this album in faith. You know, and looking back now, that was December. Christy had already been conceived. And in April, I was off duty, and I was still working as a RN in labor and delivery. And it was my off day, and I saw when the phone caller ID came on, I saw it was the hospital. And I didn't answer, thinking they wanted me to come in and work an extra shift. And I got in the shower and everything, and I got out, and I listened to the voicemail, and it was them saying, hey, Debbie, we had a little girl born at 6:17 this morning. She's yours if you want her. And I called Ethel at work. I called him out of a meeting. And we were due to go on a cruise on the Sunday. This is the Thursday. And I said, we have a baby. And he said, when? November? December? And I go, no, she was born this morning. And he said, but can we take her with us? Will they keep her until we get back? And I was like, no. So to this day, he still says Christy owes us a cruise. And one day we'll get to take that cruise. But you know what? It was all in the Lord's timing. And there were a number of years where I really hurt on Mother's Day. And I still, there's still some things that I can't do. A baby shower is very difficult for me because I never felt those first flutterings, you know, of movement inside me. And I never felt the baby kicking inside me. But God's blessed me with two incredible children. Amen. He knew what we needed in our family. He knew we were going to be traveling. He knew we were going to be missionaries. We have an eclectic family, but it's just perfect for us. And it's perfect for what we did and what we do. So, you know, if you are out there and you are hurting, it's all in God's timing. And you know what? You can be a spiritual mom. And I think that is one of the most rewarding things. Yes, I have two children that I have adopted, but the Lord has given me the opportunity to also speak into the lives of so many young girls. And just as I shared my story too, I know that there are people that can identify with me. And I'm praying for you today.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Debbie. See, it wasn't too bad. Thank you. Life is unpredictable. We don't know how things are going to pan out and how things are going to work out, but, you know, to God's glory, He works things out for His glory, and it's wonderful how, you know, Debbie, as she mentioned, she's been a spiritual mom to so many, and she's been there for them and being able to care for them and nurture them, and that's a huge role. That's a need that is desperate in our world today. I was actually sitting next to a 84-year-old Jewish man and his wife yesterday, and we were chatting and had a really good conversation. And during the course of the conversation, it kind of got on to, you know, the world where we're living and how bad things have gotten and how difficult life is and how sad it is there's so much crime and things going on. And he just said, you know what we need is parents to be parents. We need parents. And it just, it was clear to both of us that the role models are needed. Better role models are needed. Role models that stand for the Word of God, stand for the truth, and say, no, this is the way that you should be walking in. And it was a good time of conversation, but you know, there's so many people in our society, in our church even, that just need someone to look up to. They're not looking for another parent so that take them into their home and feed them. No, they're looking for someone that can spiritually feed them, someone that can care for them. And you could be that spiritual mom. You know, you can come alongside the single moms. You can come alongside the young children, come alongside the young people, the singles, young married couples. How do they walk this out? How do they become parents? Those of you in the community that have been through that, and I know I'm speaking to moms today, but it's everyone, men and women. The children today, the young people today, the young adults of today need better role models. They need role models. And that's what I love about Grace Point is that we are so multi-generational, you know. God has put us together as a family. And so a family takes care of the children. And that's what we need. Mothers do that naturally. Men, sometimes we have to be forced into that and then realize, oh, yeah, this is good. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. But mothers do that naturally. You know that we are the body of Christ. And that's what makes it so good about that is the body of Christ is not, it's not an age category. You know, so often we say, well, you come in and then you go to this age group, then this age group, and then this age group, and you should be taken care of. No, when we're all sitting together here, this is the body of Christ. There's no age category. And there's family here, so we can take care of each other's. And so mothers here can speak into the lives of children. And you can speak into the lives not only of children here in the church, you can speak into the lives of children in your neighborhood, younger people in your workplace. You can be a spiritual mother to them, leading them to the Lord, but also discipling them, growing them, teaching them what it is to walk in the ways of the Lord. That's what the world needs. You know, I know, and we've got some people here. We've had a lot of visitors from YWAM and other ministries visiting us. And one of the things that they would constantly say to me is, we actually love the church because there's older people there that care for us. You know, and Grace Point is well known and is I share this with everybody. It's not something I've had to teach, and I don't know if Curtis taught it, but somewhere down the line, someone taught Grace Point how to love and how to care, and it's such a blessing. And so, but when these younger people come to us, and they're far away from their homes, their parents aren't here, but they feel family here, they feel cared for here. And so that generation gap is sometimes very difficult to bridge. It's a little intimidating to say, well, I cannot relate to a 25-year-old. I don't know how, I don't even know the language they speak. I can't use an iPhone. You know, I don't know how to tweet. I do, but I don't. But you know, that's what's needed is to step across that generation gap and say, I don't know everything that you're going through, but I'm here for you. Amen. I'm here to just be a spiritual mom if you need one. And to the younger people, reach out and say, you know, I'm away from home and I'm struggling. I need a spiritual mom. And that the Lord will just unite us and bring us together and bring us into a closer knit family than we've ever had before. You know, some of those people have left and we know we're praying for them each week. We've got some in Budapest. We've got a family in Budapest we prayed for last week. We've got another family in China. And we've got some on their way. And I know you guys are on your way as well. They're going to need a family praying for them. And so that's just the joy and the blessing that we have the privilege of lifting up these young people before the Lord in prayer. But what does that look like practically? How do you do that? How do we not only bridge that gap, but start out in that? Well, we've just finished another year of Warford Bible Club, and we're going to feature that in a couple of weeks. But it's been a tremendous year. But we need teachers. We need people that come alongside these children. Just a quick testimony. On Tuesday, we had our final big bash at Warford, and we had 65 children there. And Team Extreme came and did a great event and shared the gospel. All 65 children in the gymnasium raised their hands and stepped forward to pray to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I know a lot of them already prayed that before, but it was so wonderful to just see that the surge as the Holy Spirit led them and said, no, we're all in. And they're looking to us as their spiritual parents. And they're saying, what do I do now? Where do I get a Bible? Can you help me? That's our joy. That's our privilege. And so you could be a part of that. You could come and be, in the fall we'll start that up again. We're going to have little things going between now and then relating to that, but you could be a part of that. Practically, though, as well, in your neighborhood, I mentioned in your office, there are people that might not be as far along in their walk, in their Christian walk, as you are. And it's not a matter of scales or levels, but you could just be a spiritual mom to someone. Maybe that person doesn't know the Lord, and you can be that role model for them. That's what a spiritual mom is. Simply getting to know each other. I said it was so interesting chatting to this elderly gentleman on the trip yesterday, and he has two sons in Atlanta who live a quarter of a mile from him, and he never sees them. And they have a daughter here in Overland Park, and they were coming to visit her. And he says, what happens when you get old? Your children just don't want to be around you anymore. And I could see the heartbreak in him, and he's hurt and he's pain. And so to the children, I want to say, today make a point of loving your mothers, but do it every day. Amen. Every day, honor, respect your mother. Because they're not going to be around forever. Although we're all going to get to spend eternity together forever, Lord willing, if we know Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. But now is the time when you can truly honor your parents and honor your mother. So as you leave today, we're going to do something a little different. Normally we would give you a bouquet of flowers or a little flower or something for all the mothers. But we're going to do something a little different today because I believe that every lady in this place, every woman in this place can be a spiritual mother to someone else. So we have some, what is the flower name? Okay, I didn't get that. But, I don't know geranium from a rose. So, so there's going to be a little flower in a pot at the back or in a cup with some potting soil. And every lady in the place is going to get one. And so as you take this home, I want you to look at this and allow the Lord to speak to you and say, who do you want me to be a spiritual mother to? Who do you want me to take care of? Who do you want me to really sow into their life and be a spiritual mother to them? And then as you're nurturing this plant and you're nurturing it and growing it and seeing the Lord grow it, seeing the nature of how God's creation works, allow God to let you nurture this other person that the Lord has laid on your heart. So that flower will be a little picture for you to remind you to be about mothering, be about nurturing those. And so you may not have children. You may have lost children. You may be in a difficult position where your child has rejected you. But you can be a spiritual mom. You can be nurturing someone for the Lord. And that in itself, I'd say, will reap eternal rewards, but it'll also give you great blessing right now. But it takes faith to walk in that. So as you take that flower, pray, ask the Lord, who do you want me to lead? And take that step in faith. So let us pray together. Lord, we thank you again for our mothers. We thank you, Lord, for spiritual role models. I pray, Lord, that as we look to those around us, Lord, you would lead us to those that need a spiritual role model. Allow us, Lord, in faith to be able to sow into their lives, to be able to encourage them, pray with them, lead them and guide them. And Lord, I pray for your body, this family here at Grace Point, that we would become a church not only of that loves each other, but a family that nurtures and cares for each other. Nurtures and cares those who are new to being a Christian, those that are young, that haven't made the decision to make you Lord of their lives. So I pray, Lord, that you would allow us to be a nurturing family. We thank you again, Lord, for all that you are doing, and we pray that by your grace, we would impact this community. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.